Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin, 7:36 on this Sunday morning. Well, we've been talking a little bit about the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, DACA, and we'll be talking more throughout the program on that. But there was a time that House Speaker Paul Ryan had a history of supporting immigration reform, even appearing at the City Club of Chicago with Democratic Congressman Luis Gutierrez. But that kind of went by the wayside when Ryan became Speaker. But back in January, at a CNN town hall, Ryan told DACA recipients that they shouldn't worry.
We've got to make sure that these laws are being enforced, that we are controlling our border so violent criminals, repeat offenders, don't come in and do these kinds of horrific things. We've got a drug problem. We've got a lot of problems. We want to be able to secure our border. When people get confidence in this country that our border is secured, that our laws are being enforced, then I really believe the country, all people in the country, will be in a much better position to fix these thornier, bigger problems. But if you're worried about, you know, some deportation, you know, force coming on, knocking on your door this year, don't worry about that.
So that was then. Now Ryan says Trump was right to force Congress to deal with DACA, despite the potential consequences.
President Obama was wrong to do it in the first place because he overstepped his constitutional bounds. We, the president and Congress, take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. So President Trump was right in his decision. He made the right call. I'm also encouraged by the fact that he gave us time to work out a consensus, to find a compromise, because these kids don't, for the most part, don't know any other home than the United States. So I think the president was right to give us the time we need to find that compromise.
Now, we all know that Steve Bannon, who once served as President Trump's top strategist, is out of the White House, but he's vowing to continue to work on the outside to continue to support Trump. In a sit-down with Charlie Rose for tonight's 60 Minutes on CBS, Rose asked Bannon about being Catholic and the Catholic Church's support for DACA.
The Catholic Church has been terrible about this.
Okay, fair.
The bishops have been terrible about this. By the way, you know why? You know why? Because unable to really to come to grips with the problems in the church, they need illegal aliens. They need illegal aliens to fill the churches. That's it's obvious on the face of it. That's what the entire Catholic bishops condemning. They have an economic interest. They have an economic interest in unlimited immigration, unlimited illegal immigration. And as much as
boy, that's a tough thing to say about your church.
As much as I respect Cardinal Dolan and the bishops on doctrine, this is not doctrine. This is not doctrine at all. I totally respect the Pope, and I totally respect the Catholic bishops and cardinals on doctrine. This is not about doctrine. This is about the sovereignty of a nation. And in that regard, they're just another guy with an opinion.
That's Steve Bannon, former top strategist for Donald Trump. Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman. He's with Next Generation Strategies. Welcome, and thanks for joining me here in the studio this morning.
It's great to be here. It's great to be downtown and see all these Georgia hats that I thought, too, were Green Bay Packer hats.
Quite a contingent. I mean, it's like the whole state of Georgia.
Well, what a weekend. You could come up, watch a Cub game, go to the Notre Dame-Georgia game, then go to the Bears game. That's a solid weekend of fun.
Yeah, except I don't really want to talk about the Cubs after the last two games here against the Brew Crew. This has not been...
Yeah, I don't think Notre Dame wants to talk about it either.
Yeah. And actually,
so it's all on the Bears right now.
I'm not sure I'd be putting a lot of faith in that. Well, Pat, I wanted to have you on because, you know, I'm curious about, and you heard Lindsey Graham's comments about immigration reform, the whole idea. And, you know, you knew Reince Priebus very well, and the autopsy that the Republicans did after Mitt Romney, and part of that was about growing the party, and that one place of growth would be outreach to the Latino community.
That was one of the autopsy. That was one of the top priorities, findings that we needed to do that.
And so, you know, and there is a tremendous split here in the Republican Party over the issue of immigration.
A couple things. You had played the clip from Paul Ryan and Congressman Gutierrez, that City Club event, I sat back there with them before the event for about a half hour, and they were talking about this, and it was great. They were both and still are sincere in trying to get to a solution, but that was a more comprehensive solution. But I do agree, and maybe this is time to have a good debate about it, but I do believe the Republican Party on this issue and others are right now going to have a big debate on what kind of party we're going to be. On this immigration issue, are we going to be these economic populists like Steve Bannon wants? Are we going to be isolationists? Are we going to be anti-immigrant? Are we going to be, you saw what happened this week with the debt ceiling, where we got nothing for that as conservatives when we are the conservative party. So I think it's legitimate for Republicans to think maybe we need to have a debate about what kind of party we're going to be and whether or not President Trump is the person that needs to lead that party. Are we no longer the conservative party? Are we what Donald Trump espouses? Are we what our historic roots, Ronald Reagan and Abraham Lincoln? I think it's time for that debate.
Well, and I know
that being said, the Democrats are having the same debate.
Understood. And I know there's a story in the New York Times today, and I think there's a similar one in the Washington Post about, is Trump really a Republican? And that he's, you know, with the deal, and I want to talk to you about that a little further, but just Trump by his nature is leading a party, but is it a Trump party and not a Republican party?
I think there's a good argument to be made that he hijacked the party. I don't mean that to be inflammatory, that he did, and he's truly not a conservative Republican. We are the conservative party. Certainly what we saw this week makes me think he's not. The isolationist rhetoric, he's certainly not. So there is a question on that, I think, and it's time for that debate. But regardless, he won, so he controls the party apparatus, but there are a lot of people in the party that don't like the direction that he's taken the party, and I think it's a legitimate question to ask if he is truly a Republican. I mean, he gave a lot more money to Hillary Clinton and Illinois Democrats than he ever gave to any Republican. So, but I think it's time for the debate.
On DACA, I mean, and I think there's a legitimate argument about then-President Obama's actions in using his executive order authority.
In the middle of a campaign.
Yes. and previously he said, you know, on this issue and similar issues, you know, I'm only one person. I can't change the law.
He did it. But remember, there were two shots at this. I think they went through the houses of Congress twice and it didn't work. And that's, I think it was June of 2012 when he did it. And that's exactly what he said.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand the idea of, you know, yes, if we're a nation of laws, we should have Congress enact laws. But I can't say that anyone has a great deal of confidence in Congress with just, you know, how we see things go, that you establish a time frame. I mean, how many time frames, quite frankly, has Donald Trump established for various things in this, that none of which has come to fruition?
It's usually I'll tell you in 2 weeks, and then there's no answer in 2 weeks.
Right. And you know, something's going to be done in 2 months, something's going to be done by the end of the year, whatever. But for these children or young adults, and you basically have a clock that's ticking.
Yeah, and these were people that self-registered, self-reported, say, hey, I'm here, I'm technically, you can't say it's amnesty because they didn't.
They're not citizens.
They're not citizens. I mean,
so they have legal status,
right,
as it were.
A couple things, though. When I first heard he was doing this, I'm like, okay, this makes some sense politically. Put it back on Congress. Get it off your plate. You can tell your base that I got rid of DACA. But within 12 hours, he's backing off even of his position on DACA, which it makes it much more difficult to get a legislative solution. We don't have a president that stands for, he's on both sides of the fence.
There's an enforcement. I mean, part of the reason of a deadline is there's an enforcement or an action that will occur. Then we saw he tweeted out at the request of Nancy Pelosi, I believe it was.
Right. Doc, all you people are safe. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. If 6 months passes, don't worry about it.
Well, we don't have 800,000 pair of handcuffs. Can you imagine what would happen if we had actually had to enforce that, both the cost and just the logistics of doing it? Doesn't make any sense. Plus, it's 80% of the country supports taking care of these people that are here through no fault of their own.
And, I mean, CNN kind of went by the numbers and said that you basically would be looking at about 1,000 people per day would lose their legal status.
So what do we do then? We have the ICE go out, chase these people down It's not going to happen.
But that's one of the concerns is that they
How bad would that look?
Well, but they registered. So
right.
That information is in the database.
Right. So I can't imagine the camera shots you're going to get if that actually happens. But on to that question, I thought at first, okay, I get this. You can push it off to Congress. But without communicating to Congress what he was going to do, he doesn't – I know the people that support the president like him because he's not a politician. Well, the president, part of your job is being a politician. And to get legislative solutions, as you know better than anybody, you have to behave somewhat like a politician to get things done. And when he does the things like he did this week with the debt ceiling and DACA, nothing gets done and everybody just gets angrier.
We're going to talk more about that. Well, we're speaking with Pat Brady. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue, joined by Pat Brady, former state GOP chairman, now with Next Generation Strategies.
Hey, some of your groupies out the window there. Pearson groupies.
Did you see where they're from?
Something. There's a lot of them.
Society of Head and Neck Nurses.
Good.
And Lord knows, since we're talking politics, we need some head nurses here. That's for sure. Thanks, guys. We could all use a little bit unfortunately, the state insurance probably wouldn't cover that with the funding issue. But I wanted to talk to you about the debt ceiling deal and the fact that he basically cut off Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan at the knees and goes right with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi on the 3-month extension. And we're not going to tie it to hurricane relief, but it is. And now it's $15 billion. I mean,
this is my issue back to the larger discussion about what kind of party the Republican Party is. Usually on that debt ceiling, as conservatives, we want to get some kind of concessions where we get some reform so we're not spending more than we're taking in, similar to the arguments we have here. And we got nothing for this. I got a 3-month extension.
And $15.8 billion in hurricane relief.
Right. And then we just cut a deal with the two most partisan people in Washington, which is going to take away all our leverage in December to try to actually get some concessions on this. I mean, you have to raise the debt ceiling. It's reality, but we usually get something for it. We've just conceded that. So I don't understand. You can't say you're a fiscal conservative if you do the kind of deal he did this week.
Well, and then Ben Sasse, the Nebraska Republican senator, went on the floor and said, thanks to the president, we've now elevated Chuck Schumer to the most powerful senator in the country.
Yeah, he will be in December on this issue when it's up again. So I don't quite understand. I get it because he got a news cycle of good press for being a deal cutter, and they made comparisons with him and Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. But when Ronald Reagan was working with Tip O'Neill, we got the largest tax cut in the history of the country and some other pretty conservative policies. For this, we went just the opposite. So, and I can't imagine the frustration of both the people in the House and Senate with what he did.
Well, I mean, I get the feeling it's like they're going, he got rolled.
Right. He did. He's the deal guy, got rolled. Another thing to me is the storm clouds on the horizon are there is an ongoing criminal investigation that seems to be picking up steam here of the Trump campaign. And he's going to need some friends in Congress, and I think he's losing friends by the day when he does things like he did this week.
Well, yeah, I mean, and yes, it is an unconventional presidency, but one of the striking things is that issue of loyalty or lack thereof, and more how rank-and-file Republicans are just getting very tired of seeing themselves criticized and threatened with primaries we can talk about divided Republicans or whatever, but you know, when you start looking at, you know, when he was bad-mouthing Jeff Sessions, and it's like, well, if you think it's going to be easy to replace Jeff Sessions among the Senate Republicans, it's like you got another thing coming.
Right.
So,
well, he went and Jeff Flake wrote a book critical,
right,
and he's the senator from Arizona. And he went out there and said, he's trying to recruit somebody to run against him. And this is the leader of the party actively recruiting people to run against a very prominent senator in Arizona. It's just not the way things are typically done. And I get people say he's non-conventional, but right now, non-conventional to me just equates with not effective. We're here as leader of the party, you're here to win elections, not create this kind of turmoil.
I want to move to state politics a little bit. And I know you're a big supporter of Governor Rauner. How do you think this, finally, with the resolution of the schools issue, this plays out? I mean, I tend to give House Republican Leader Jim Durkin a lot of credit on this, and quite frankly, the need for a victory, some kind of a win, not just for the governor to get something, but also for the rank-and-file legislators that are going to be up for election next year.
Yeah, I think it was a huge one. I think it was actually a historic one, and we're going to have a new school funding formula. And I agree completely that Leader Durkin played a huge role in this. And in the last couple of years, Leader Durkin's been, I think, been the most valuable player down there. He's really kept things together. But for the governor, I think it's a big one. And he can now say that he got something done big, and he reached across the aisle, or however you want to put it, to get it done. So I think it really does help him politically. I think also in the last, he had a rough August. I think he righted the ship and got rid of a lot of the people that were causing him problems. The Policy Institute people he brought into his communication shop just did not deliver for him. And there were a lot of mistakes made, a lot of rookie mistakes made. And I think he's righted that ship and kind of gotten that element out of his administration. So I think going, all that stuff happened before Labor Day, which, as you know, is kind of the kickoff point of the campaigns. And if I have said all along, and I firmly believe the one person that the Republicans, Governor Rauner, has the best shot at beating, and it's always an uphill climb here to win, is J.B. Pritzker. I think, and he's going to, appears to be getting coordinated by the Democrats, but to me, that's great news for Governor Rauner, because I think he's the one we can beat.
Why is that?
Well, you take away the billionaire argument. The one argument the Democrats had that could be effective against Governor Rauner is the billionaire.
That neutralizes it.
So you have two billionaires. Plus, J.B. Pritzker, totally aligned with Mike Madigan. Love or hate Mike Madigan, a lot of people don't like him, and people know who he is now.
I don't think I've ever heard you use love and Mike Madigan in the same.
I'm just politically, realistically, it worked in the last election cycle where we put the candidates who were running in races at the House level, tied them to Madigan, and it was very effective. So he's going to wear that collar. And the third thing is he's got some baggage, too, and I think this property tax issue with him getting the tax break on his Astor Street mansion, when the rest of us are struggling there, particularly in the city of Chicago, to get school funding done, that's a problem. He's got some baggage.
Well, and I mean, one of the things about before the schools deal got done, I had to actually wonder if Governor Rauner's chief accomplishment was to demonize Mike Madigan in a way that, you know, has been tried in the past.
Yeah, well, they had the resources to do it. And I think, I'm not sure if it's demonized, but make the people of the state aware of just how Springfield works and who actually controls it. And it's clear, I think most people now know who controls a lot of what goes on in Springfield. It is the speaker. Give them credit for accumulating that much power, but too much power accumulated in one person is not proven to be particularly effective for running the state well.
That's Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman, now with Next Generation Strategies. Pat, thank you so much for joining me this
morning. Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend. It's a great day.
We'll be back with more right after this.